Guys, thank you for that. And we have community segment here for today. It's Loaded and Rolling. Thomas is with me. Today we're changing it up though. We're calling this Thoughts with Thomas. We're talking about the Domestic Supply Chain Summit yesterday, which was of course our final FreightWaves TV event of the year. Thomas, you had a pretty big role in it. You started off our keynote yesterday. You had a couple fireside chats. So we're gonna talk about some of your thoughts. And let's start off with that keynote. We heard from folks over at RXO talking a little bit about challenges, opportunities, what 2024 could be like. Give us your overall thoughts on the keynote.
I mean, I think it's great. There's a lot of good topics that were mentioned, of course. Everyone's thinking of 2024. The big ones, I think, about capacity exits. That's kind of the elephant in the room or the trucker in the room. We still really don't know in terms of what's the right amount. What's the Goldilocks? Too little, too much, and then the market flips. You got to be careful. So keeping an eye on those spot rate movements as well as the continued exits remains a priority. One of the cool things that we were talking about on that thing was it was since October of 22, we've had every single month more carriers exit the marketplace than coming in. So, you know, you'd assume that there's eventually going to be something change. And then one of the other ones highlighted that I really thought interesting was broker market penetration. Had some really good thoughts on that. You know, typically we would see 10 to 20% of penetration because of COVID. Brokers typically did not get access to the table. You know, the folks at XPO were bullish up to 40 or 50% if you get the tech right. So that's one thing to keep an eye on.
So that conversation with RXO, I think, was really fascinating. And I mentioned this to Anthony yesterday at the start of our show, is this is RXO's first full year as a completely spun off entity from XPO. We know that they existed as part of their brokerage segment up until November of last year. They reported like a half of a quarter financial results to end 2022. This year, they have a full year reporting schedule. They're going to give us Q4 results. They're also going to give us full year 2023 results coming up in January. Any talk about how they saw the market kind of flip or turn or interact them specifically in their brokerage segment through the last year? Obviously, they fared a little bit better than some of our other brokerages. They had a little bit more legs to stand on. Yeah. But did they also feel kind of the pain of the tightness?
How I interpreted it would be, of course, when we're talking about publicly traded companies, one of the things is that all brokerages right now are facing marginal pressure, but the technology aspect is kind of the counterbalance to it. And so one thing that they're very, very excited about when I was talking with them was that they feel that their tech stack and their execution is going to set them up. You know, we're kind of in the corner right now in terms of the freight market, and they feel pretty confident that they can hit the gas and accelerate around that edge. It's a battle of speed in this marketplace. Being a trucking expert, I used to be a freight broker as well. And if your tech is good enough, it's rough. It just changes the dynamics of your already stressful day. But having that ability, especially with tracking, having a portal for carriers, making it worthwhile to use the platform, that's going to be stuff to watch for. So, you know, overall with the talk, I think that they hit a lot of notes that we've heard from other folks in the supply chain. We're all talking about inventory destocking, consumer expectations, Federal Reserve. Everyone's talking about the Fed as well. So, you know, it's important to keep your ear to the ground and see which way the herds are moving right now, because right now it's still in terms of consensus either between end of, you know, Q1 all the way through the first half. We really just don't know at this moment, but they seemed very confident that, you know, that's the biggest thing, is you want to send a reassuring message that, you know, you're confident in your tech stack and that, you know, you're going to be able to outcompete.
So you moved on from a keynote with a digital brokerage to a fireside chat with Brent Hutto from Truckstop, obviously a load board. And you guys talked a little bit about some of the freight market conditions. And again, that same kind of theme, right? Challenges going on in the space. We know right now that not only is Truckstop really committed to making sure that people are able to book their freight, they're also really heavy committed into this anti-fraud thing that we've got going on right now. Talk to us a little bit about your conversation with Brent.
It was a fun one. First time I got to interview and talk with him and the team. And, you know, it's something that trust, you know, combating fraud, building trust. You are a load board, you're a third party. You have to establish and maintain trust. And, you know, one thing that's been not really well talked about, and now we're getting more attention, was that when the freight boom happened and we saw this crazy amount of carriers entering the market, we saw a crazy amount of more loads being posted. That opened the door for people who traditionally didn't think about taking advantage of this trust you know, doing more frauds. We saw a huge rise in fraud. It's a very tricky time now because carriers are in a position where you have to take the freight. You're lowering your expectations. You need this load or your big goose egg. It's literally ride or die at this point for some of them. We are seeing a situation where they are probably more likely compared to a hotter market to say, well, I don't know about this. You know, I don't really need this load. So that's a challenge. And the final challenge is a lot of new motor carrier numbers coming in. A lot of MCs were accepted into systems and compliance that typically maybe you needed 6 months, but because of the past 2 years, we kind of loosened our standards. If you need to book a load and send it, you know, on the flip side, that's another big topic to watch, which is even brokerages and carriers, newer entrants that are even coming in this market are going to be facing more challenges. What if we started a trucking company? Good luck trying to book a load because they may think that we're fraudulent. You got an MC 1 to 6 months old right now. It's going to be a double whammy because people are paying more attention. And that's typically the profile of those. You get shut down, you pull out your backup MC, and then, you know, if it's a profile.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, of course, you had A-Tech in Action, but you also got to chat with some folks about generative AI. And this was one that I also got to do a fireside chat with. But I think it's a really fascinating topic because it is something that has a lot of impacts and a lot of unintended impacts, again, on the supply chain space. The conversation that I had was about quality of data and about how that really changes how you can actually use AI and whether it's worth it or not to use. What about with you in your conversation?
Data was a very big point. The quality is important. It's like trying to cook a dish without cutting the onions. You put the whole onion in there, but you probably want to have it cut if you want to have it taste well. But I think the biggest thing that people are missing, AI is not going to steal your job. It's going to make your job better because one of the fundamental things we did talk about was the input. I don't know Python. I wish I knew Python, but how can I be a data scientist in terms of without the coding, the if-then statements? With the new syntax and the ability of things like ChatGPT and everything, you can take a verbal thing. Please pull me these data sets. Please put them in a bar graph, sort them. This verbal interface is actually the biggest game changer that will help logistics professionals because now you're a director and you can say, this was what we talked about in the interview, bring me a list of my entire fleet and sort them by most underperforming assets by revenue miles per week. That used to take a data team a week or two or a person with a SharePoint. Now a CEO or C-suite who doesn't necessarily have that skill set can verbally access this data, and we're getting something that in 7 days can now happen in about 7 seconds.
Yeah, and then it goes back to it, right? You can do that all the time, but you've got to make sure that the data that you're feeding your AI, your machine learning algorithm is top notch, or else you're going to get back funky reports and you're going to say, hey, well, I only have 2 carriers who are underperforming instead of 200 carriers who are underperforming.
Correct. Your data set and the quality of your data sets, garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm. That's a strange concept for some folks, but that's going to put a lot of pressure. We're going to see clear winners in the space because it's one thing to say, now I can pull this stuff up verbally, but it's going to put additional pressure on the back end because now that director of the C-suite says, well, I asked it to do that. And now it's telling me it's wrong? You mean you nerds in the back didn't get it right? And so you open
and the nerds in the back are like, I didn't code this.
Yeah, AI sorry, that's the other guy's warehousing. So I think that is the amazing thing is we are seeing a transition to where those folks who typically did the front end, these AI is allowing this front end, but it puts so much focus on the back end quality of your data, making sure your house is in order. And we're going to see that. It's gonna put some ugly warts if you're not careful in your organization because now you have all this ability up front, but it's like almost driving it's like having a Ferrari and you find out it's a 4-cylinder instead of an 8-cylinder because your data is not very good.
There you go. All right, Thomas. Well, thank you for that. And if you missed any of our domestic supply chain summit from yesterday, find all of those segments on demand on our YouTube channel. Also find our written recaps of them up on freightwaves.com. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with our next check of the weather right after this.